Anian Gukinawea. Welcome back to the Maui Dissing Show. This is Nicole Bukinage.
I'm Shirley Nordrum.
And again, we have a guest, Anna McKee. We gave this gentleman some sema to ask him about his knowledge and the teachings that he knows about the flute. That's a word. I never knew the word for that guy and how he was called. So we'll just call him the flute.
Sounds like a good name, then.
Yeah. So, if you will, Anna McKee, want to start out by telling us what you know and how this guy came to us, the Anishinaabe here.
If you know, or how he came to you. How did he come to you?
Right.
Well, once again, it was something when I was younger. And I was out at the Buganagijic, and the teacher, the instructor that was in that classroom, he came in. It's kind of a funny story, actually, because, like, some of the kids were in there because they could draw real good. Some of the kids were in there, you know, because they could do other things. It was a gifted and talented class. And he came in one morning, and he was excited, like, really, like, overly excited. And he said, "Who wants to make a flute?" And no one jumped on it. So I felt bad for the guy. And so I said, "You know what?" I said, I will make one. So that's how that it kind of came to me in a funny way.
It was a sympathy flute.
Yeah. I was feeling sorry for him. And so that's kind of how the flute came to me for some awesome reason. And once again, I'll go back to always thanking the Creator for the gifts that were given to me. And I picked it up and I started to naturally just play like anyone else would, guitar, any kind of other instrument you would. And it came to me, fortunately, pretty naturally. And so that's kind of like how that started out. As the years went on and I, you know, kept practicing, as we all know, keep on practicing no matter what it is, and you naturally will get better at it no matter what it is. I started to meet other people that were also people that played the flute. One awesome story that I can remember that I'll share with you guys and the listeners is I was around 21 years old. I think I was around 21, and I was out in Connecticut. And by this time, I've already been playing maybe like nine or ten years I've already been playing. And when I spoken with this guy, he was from Oklahoma. His name is Edmund Navokoya. That's his name. He's a really good friend of mine. And I sat down with him and I showed him one of the melodies that I played. He showed me one of the melodies that he played, and he said right away, I want to share a story with you that my grandpa shared with me. He said, when you're playing the melody is to come from within and what you're feeling through your fingers and then ultimately out of the flute. And what he meant by that was more or less like not a melody that's remembered like when you're playing a guitar song. You have notes that you have to remember. So it's more or less kind of like a improv, out of the top of your head kind of type, you know, free-flowing ideal. And earlier when I said why this story is so awesome is during that 9-10 years in between this time and that story, that's basically what I was doing. I really didn't have a melody that I remembered. Every time that I was fortunate enough to play at a wedding or, you know, various other places, it was just like that. It's just something that free flowed, and it was really cool to, because I know down south, the stories down there are real, real rich as far as in history. And as far as up here with us, with the Anishinaabe, I've been searching and asking around, and I'm not sure if I asked the right people, but I tend to lean more towards it probably might have been something that was shared with us. I'm not 100% on that, so take that with a grain of salt. I just appreciate it and love for what it is that it has done for me and then what it does for other people when they're listening. So I just go back to the main focus of what gives to all of us. I know my wa'an, he shared with me, because he plays too, and he shared that there are six holes. This is what he was taught. There are six holes on it, and the top one is for everything up above. He said, everything up above, the clouds, the sky, the animals that are above, and also further into the stars and everything else, everything that's naturally just above us. And then you come back down to the second hole, and he said that one represents everything on earth, the water, the oceans, the mountains, the trees, animals, everything that you can think of that's on the earth and below the earth. And then naturally there's four left, which he had shared and said those are for the directions, the north, east, south, and west. So I thought that was a really cool story. Never asked him where he got it, because you don't want to ask why, or you know. So that was one of the stories that was shared with me. Another one of the stories that were shared that I read was that there was a young warrior that was good pretty much at everything. Hunting, he was the fastest runner. He could, basically what you could ever think of, probably the best leg wrestler, whatever you want to think of. this kid, this guy, he was really good at everything. But as they got more mature and he started seeing the rest of his friends talking to girls, every time he would try, it would scare him, and he would run away, actually, like physically run away, because he couldn't do it. And as they started getting older and they started having children and families, he was still there with this fright of women. And so he was naturally sad and upset. And so he had asked the Creator, what was wrong with him, like we all do. And in that story that I was reading, it said that a woodpecker had came down and sat by him and started picking at this log. And when he was done, when the woodpecker was done, that's what was laying there, was a flute. And he went back in, and we all know how fairy tales end. he went back to the village, and he played himself a song, and the rest is history. That is one of the stories that I've read, and I can't remember where it originated from, but to me, it meant a lot, and it stuck with me, and so I share that one with people when they ask me what it is that I know about it, about the flute.
Good stories, good teachings. Yeah. I imagine the women in that village were lining up to be with that successful man after they heard that flute, because it's pretty romantic.
Yeah. So have you ever made a flute since then?
Yes. The first one I made, I was 12 years old. I made the first one, and then when I was 16, I made about three more. The last time I really did make one was when I was actually over at the tribal college, when it was downtown, when I was attending college over there. I made one. All of those I ended up giving away to people, to gentlemen, friends of mine that said, "Hey, I want to do that. I would like to do that." And so I said, "Oh,
can you use any kind of wood for that?"
Yeah, I've seen anything from like a real hard purple wood. I'm not sure what it's called, but it's from California, to what we have naturally around here, and that's the cedar. So I'm imagining that you can probably use any type of wood that you would like to. It's just what's going to be harder to work with and more easier to work with. And to get back to what you said, when you said you could imagine that young man coming back to the village and the women lining up, my wife also shared with me that depending on what kind of woman you want to attract, he said you could grab a short flute and you will attract the shorter woman. He said, or else you could grab a big chubby flute and then you get a good chubby woman to come to you.
What about one with a lot of kids?
Oh, jeez. I'm not going to... I don't want to comment on that one.
Are there certain ways that you need to take care of your flute as there are with drum and other things? I imagine that the flute is a being as well. He came from a tree, so he's living on in that flute and in that music and in that those vibrations of song. So do you know of teachings of there's certain ways to take care of them? Or?
Oh, yeah, I get it for sure. That, just like you said, it's a being. And once again, you know, the teachings from Moa'a said to respect it as a being and to offer, you know, your asema and your food to this wonderful being that's, you know, once again has given itself to give us joy, happiness, and love. So those are some of the things that I tend to, how can I say, just to go back to everything that we're always thankful for what it is that is given to us that helps the people in any way. And so the flute, the drum, you know, the rattle, things of that nature. So I do put out food and asema and give thanks for the flute as well. For me, that's just something that, you know, was taught to me. Once again, I wish I knew a lot more as to how it came to the Anishinaabe. I mean, maybe later on down the road, hey, I'll probably find it. But as of right now, I'm still just going to respect it and enjoy for what it is and what it does for the people. And so
we brought a flute to the studio today. You ever notice on these flutes, some of them, this one in particular looks like an eagle or some kind of representation of an eagle. I'm guessing that's what he is. A little bird on there. Some of them have loons. Some have bears. You know, that's probably just the creation of the flute maker himself. You know, just decorating that flute up and making it beautiful. Was there anything other teaching about that you know of? Or is that just what that is? That's just the artistic...
Yeah, that's also, thanks for reminding me of that. That was another one of the teachings that that was shared with me is my wet aunt would say, early in the morning if you can, play early in the morning. And if you can, by a lake or by a river, and to try your best to emulate and copy sounds of the bird. As we know within that story that I shared with you earlier, a bird was the one that made it for us. That is another one of the awesome teachings that I was taught to do. And yeah, I'm imagining that a lot of them, with you see the tops on them, they'll vary from eagle to bear to turtles to anything of that. And I'm just gonna guess here, a lot of it probably has to do with maybe their clan, something that helps them, you know, once again, just basic artistic, you know, thought of, hey, I like the way that looks.
Yep.
So yeah, that's really cool that you brought that up. So miigwech.
So you're gonna try to play this guy for us today?
Oh yeah.
I notice he's in the key of A.
Oh yeah.
He went and got fancy on you there.
The key of A. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure what that means. The key of Anishinaabe.
I think it has to do with the diameter of the flute and the spacing of the holes and the volume of air that you push through there. Oh, wow. Making that up.
I didn't know they made different keys for them.
Actually, with the newer ones that have been coming out, somehow they've manufactured a way to where they can be made in a certain key. And I don't know if this is something recently new. I'm imagining so. But the other ones that I would make, it all depended on the angle that you would cut to where on top here, what they would call the chimney or the top piece that's tied down to the flute itself. Sometimes there's angle cuts on those, and
okay,
you'll get different variations of higher, lower, medium tone and things like that. But when you get these newer guys, yeah, they're manufactured to people that wanted to learn, that can read music. And so just like we were talking in the interview about contemporary and original, this correlates with that strongly. It really does. I have no opinion on how it originated to where it is now. I just, once again, just focus on the main goal that that these wonderful items bring us.
Right.
And so.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I've been playing for, since I was 12. I don't want to give my age up. But
I was waiting. I was waiting there.
Aging yourself.
17, 18 years? Yeah, that's still hasn't healed me very clearly yet. But I'll keep trying.
Well, I feel healed, so. Miigwech.
Yeah. Good.
I just want to say thank you again so much for coming in and sharing your stories with us. I really appreciate it.
Cool, yeah. I just want to share before we end today's interview to anyone out there that's interested to don't let anything hold you back. Don't let anything hold you back if you feel that you want to play the flute, if you feel that you want to sing, dance. Don't let anything hold you back. Reach for that goal. You will find yourself a lot more happier once you have that to share with people. And so, Miigwech.
Oh, wow, that was a good interview. I really liked his words at the end there about, you know, if you want to do something, don't let anything or anybody get in the way of what your dreams are. We should not forget that. We should encourage that in everyone that we interact with, you know. If they were doing something, we should encourage them. You know, after that interview, I was playing around a little bit on the internet, and I typed in Ojibwe and flute, mm-hmm. and I found a Wisconsin public television interview with Eddie Benton Benet.
Oh, yeah.
It was about traditional Ojibwe instruments, and he said something that was really interesting to me, that the instruments that we have, they're the folk music and folk instruments of this land. You know, when you hear about folk music, Ojibwe music isn't always what comes to people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the Tennessee Hill type music, but these are the first instruments of the land. They're the first songs. They're the first music of this land. And I really like that teaching that he gave in that interview that he was doing on the television. And he talked about the flute. He did talk about how the flute came to the Algonquin people. And the story that he told, it was really short, but he said that it came from sadness and mourning, that there was a young woman that had lost someone that she loved, and she just couldn't get over the pain and the loss that she was feeling. And so she was sitting by the water, and the wind came. And the wind was blowing through the reeds, and it was the sound of the flute, and it was came to her how to make the flute. And so when she made the flute and then played that, it was a healing, just like we talked about in the interview, that the flute was the sound of a healing, and it's a sound of wind, and that it's transitioned into a instrument of love. And so maybe there's lots of teachings about how the flute came to different people, but the basic premise of it being a healing instrument and an instrument of love kind of seems to be the consistent teaching throughout all of those, no matter how they talk about how they came to be, that they're instruments of love,
yeah.
Instruments of healing. And you can feel that when you listen to the flute, it's very calming and very peaceful music, and it's just really a beautiful, beautiful instrument.
It is. You know, when I think about it too, there's, if you go into the store and they have these CDs available, and they're always tied in with lullabies or the baby. Do you ever see that? Yeah. The baby section. And people buy the CDs to play for their babies because it's so relaxing and calm. Mm-hmm. And
being relaxed and being calm is healing, you know.
It is.
It gives you, it's that resting that mm-hmm. we talk about. You got to mm-hmm. rest. You got to rest not only physically, but you have to rest mentally and emotionally as well. And that instrument just seems to give you that, right. that relaxed feeling.
Do you know how to play the flute?
I have a flute, and I try, yeah. I do a lot, like was talked about in the interview there. I do that in the morning time because, you know, I love the morning, and mm-hmm. I go out and watch the sunrise. And but I'm by no means a good flute player. But like, just like the teaching there, never give up. I keep playing, and one day I hope that I might be well good enough flute player to play in front of someone.
Right.
Or to someone.
Mm-hmm. I made a goal for myself this year to learn how to play. And they offer the classes in the springtime at the Tribal College. John Romer comes over and he teaches people how to play the flute. And it's about a 2-week deal, and I'm going to attend that.
All right.
It's usually about a $50 fee, and it's $50 well invested because you learn something new. And
you get the flute, don't you?
You get a nice flute, and the flutes are actually far more than $50.
Yeah.
So it's a good opportunity, and I'm going to be waiting for that. I overheard some folks talking that it was going to be in June.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah.
Yeah. My nephew Andreas took that class. He has a flute. I asked him after I heard, you know, in the interview there, they were talking about if that you play that kind of flute that you want your loved one to look like. Mm-hmm. So when I went home, I asked my nephew, I said, does your flute look like the woman of your dreams? He kind of looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I shared with him. I said, you're going to have to listen to the show once it's aired, because Anna McKee was talking about playing the kind of flute of the loved one that you might be wanting to have come into your life.
Yeah.
It was a good story. Good story.
It was.
So I think that'd wrap it up for our show on the flute. And I know there's a lot of people out there that play. And if there's anybody else listening out there that plays and you want to be on the show, just contact either Nicola or I at the Tribal College. And we'd be more than happy to talk to you about your flute playing and teachings that you might have with that, and share some of your stories.
Yep.
All right.
Oh.
Miigwech.
Miigwech bizendawi agminawa.